Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Praise ye the Lord. First Samuel chapter 18. This is the story of David and King Saul. You know where we are coming from. David came and he was already anointed by Samuel as the next king. He was just a young man. King Saul was already being plagued by a demon. We all know it was a devil that the Bible said an evil spirit from God was troubling King Saul. And then he needed somebody to play organ to cool him down. They said, oh, if somebody can be singing spiritual songs before you, King, that's emotion. What did they mean by an evil spirit? It just made him to be angry, mad, and they say he was also prophesying inside the house, which means those are demons of that could also prophesy. So they said, let's call for a harp, somebody that can play the harp. And they found David, and they brought David before the king. Now, Saul didn't know about David before that. He was not aware that David had been anointed king when he was a young boy. So all they knew was that they wanted somebody that can play the harp. So they got David from many cities away. And he came, started living in the palace of King Saul. Anytime they saw that the demons have come against Saul, and he was so angry and mad and stamping the floor and kicking, and they know that thing has come upon him. It's like an emotion. And they'll call David, come and start playing your harp before he did anything bad or kill somebody. So David would get the harp and started playing and playing some spiritual songs. And when demons hear that, they left. And Saul was calmed. Well, that was not what we are talking about. That's just telling you the background of what was going on. Until jealousy was added, which we all know the story in 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's read that. So demons, they go in groups. But when you add another demon down, they're becoming worse. And that is what we're talking about here in chapter 18. Those demons, they always visit King Saul, like we said. But at jealousy, they are not living anymore. Chapter 18 from verse 6 to 9. This was after David has showed himself and killed Goliath. He became a great hero. Saul himself was pleased. But the women came from the cities and turned things around by singing praise of King David, or David the young man. Verse 6. It came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Well, you may say, well, just trying to a young boy. Nobody thought of that could be anything. They just trying to praise. It's almost like when a mother started to praise the little boy that he has and almost exulting above the daddy. Should daddy be angry? But he could create something like that. Jealousy. How much more when demon was already there with King Saul. And Saul was very wroth, verse 8. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Now that was how jealousy crept in, comparing what he had with what David, this young man, had. The praise that he just got. Now, look at what happened in verse 10. I say each time David, the king, will be in that mood, that emotion, they will call this harpist and he will play and the demon will leave. But not when jealousy was added to those demons. It's almost like the king welcomed them now. See, that's something I wanted to all of us to know about demons. If you welcome them, they don't leave. If you entertain them, let me give an example. Take a doctrine, a philosophy, or an ideology. Women liberation is a good example because that came from the pit of hell. Where it came around and it came like ideas, and very soon it crops into the world and it may look like it's okay. Well, what is it they're just talking about? Pay, equal pay, yeah? But now it crept into the houses. Husbands and wives are fighting one another. It crept into the churches. And very soon, it became something that is a warfare. So that's an example. If a Christian believer says, well, I don't believe in those things. But if you welcome some of those ideology and they become your ideology, those demons don't leave. It's like, oh, he allowed us. I remember, I think it was somebody that gave me a testimony where they went to cast. There was a lunatic spirit, and they were casting these demons out. And then the lunatic says, well, and these are people that try to cast out demons. They try to say, and the man that was talking said, well, they have left. And they say, well, what's your own name? And they call and say, well, you come out too. He say, no, I'm not leaving. That demon said, I'm not leaving. This is my house. Well, that is, there are some demons that won't leave because the man welcomed them in. That is what you see about this King Saul. Those other demons that will come, make him prophesy, make him so nervous, make him fidgety, make him throwing everything. When the spiritual songs begin to go into the air, they leave Saul. He didn't welcome those demons. They attacking him. But now, when jealousy was added in, he welcomed jealousy because he has a reason for that jealousy. This boy is now getting the praise. So he welcomed jealousy, and the others won't leave. Say, well, it's our brother. They just stay with the same demon. And that was what you see here. How do you know the demons won't leave? Because of his reaction. Here, in verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Well, they always say it's from God. Why? Because it was God that anointed King Saul. So for anything to happen, God must have allowed it. And they said, Saul prophesied in the midst of the house. So they called David to play. So David played with his hand as at other times. But there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Now, it's becoming not just a demon that David can play the harp and will leave. No, they are no more leaving because the king wanted them to stay. You see, the king wanted them to stay. In many forms, when we try to cast out devils, I remember exhorting one person one long time ago in Nigeria, I said, you have to reject the demon yourself. You have to reject the demon. Even the demons that do anything, you command them to come out. If this fellow is not insane, he has to reject the demon. I remember one time when I was still at Arizona State University, and a young man that was a student that I ministered to, and he told me that he was seeing things. And he was just a Catholic, was not seeing things by Holy Ghost. So he said he was seeing things, he couldn't concentrate, his mind was being taken back by those things he was seeing, demons. And it was one of my students, because I was teaching assistant, so I talked to him and said, well, can I pray for you? He said, yeah, you can pray for me. So I took him to church, we prayed for him, and he was like this in the church, he was looking around, he said he was seeing things right in the church. And the Lord spoke to me when he was going to be delivered, the Lord told me that I should tell him, in the church, while everybody was clapping hands, the Lord told me to talk to this young man and said, do you want these things to leave you? So I asked him, the Lord said, do you really want these things to leave you? He said, yes. He has to say it to someone that he wanted them to leave. Because actually, he actually invited them in first by reading some books. Because he told me how he got involved. He was reading some books on all those type of things, that how to get tap into the other world that many students were getting into. And that was how they overwhelmed his mind. Then he wanted to get out. They couldn't let him get out. Then he met a preacher, so I started talking to him about Jesus. So that was how I met him. So the Lord said, do you want to let these demons, all these things, to leave you? He has to say, yes, I don't want them anymore. And when he said, yes, I don't want them anymore, the Lord said, kneel down with him. While the church was still going on, and I laid my hand upon his back, like me and him kneeled down, and I commanded them to leave. And as we stood up, the man said, everything just turned around because the Lord took them away. That is what I mean, that you've got to let them. You've got to say, I reject them. The same thing with all these things we are talking about. Whether they come like thoughts or like ideas, you have to reject them. Don't avoid and say, no, that man make me mad. That's why I'm not going to. No, you are accepting anger. You are retaining it. And the demons of anger will stay with the fellow. If you say, no, he has done so much, I can't forgive that. When God says forgive, you are actually retaining those demons and they won't leave. You've got to let them go. You've got to tell them to leave, that I want to forgive like God said. I want to love like God said. Then they can stay around because you are rejecting them. That is what we are talking about. This is how you conquer the devils. You've got to reject them and reject their ideology and reject their thoughts. Take them captive to the obedience of the word of God. And then you have the victory. Because if you think, well, I still have to hammer this hatred, you are not injuring the fellow, you are injuring yourself. Because that is the key thing. Those demons that are around, they are not there for good, not for your own good either. Amen. So that's the first chapter 18 that we say, and verse 10 to 12 is where I will point again in what happened. Yeah, that's what I just read. David couldn't drive those demons away by just playing guitar anymore. Why? Because the king welcomed those demons. Very soon he wanted to kill David as was playing the piano or the harp. So we need to know that the Lord wanted us to overcome, to have victory over all those things, and don't welcome them. Now, covetousness is exactly how they come around, how the jealousy come around. What does the Bible say about covetousness? Let's open to Exodus chapter 20 and see what the Lord said. Exodus chapter 20. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, this is where God gave the law. And he listed, he said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So covetousness is what? You desire what they have. Why will you desire? Because you have compared what they have with what you have. And you think they are better, or they are more, or they are this, or they are that. But God said, thou shalt not covet. So when the thought comes to you, cast it down. Be grateful for what you have. Amen? And let the Lord bless your heart. Psalm 119, verse 37. I'm giving some of the solutions the Lord wanted us to remember now, because I'm going to wrap it up. It's going to be short. All the last two psalms, I noticed I was here for 17 minutes. 17 minutes? Time flies. Psalm 119, verse 37. These are some of the Bible verses we should remember. You use for praying. Pray for yourself. Psalm 119, verse 37. Here King David said, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Turn away. You pray and say, Lord, whatever you see that you are preferring that to yours, comparing that, say, turn away your eyes. Lord, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, because those are vanity things. And quicken me in thy way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is what Apostle Paul was saying about how we should. He said, those who are comparing themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Don't do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So he said, well, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. When you begin to compare what you have or what the other fellow have, that is where you begin to open up the door for jealousy, whether demons or your emotions. You're opening the door, and the demons see an open door, and they try to go through it. And the Lord said, and what does it normally bring? It brings you, like I said, you cannot speak peaceably to the other person while you have been jealous. And if you sense that, you should repent and pray and ask the Lord to help you, and then cast it down, and then speak peaceably to the fellow. And another thing, it will make people to speak evil things. Before you know it, if you don't cast it down, you begin to speak evil things about the fellow, about the other person, about the other party. It's almost like when you see a preacher on the congregation and preach about that pastor over there, before you know, they're actually casting the other person down because of, it could actually be jealous. They're jealous of that other ministry, and they stand on their own pulpit and bring them down. A form of jealousy is what is causing most of those. And when the Lord said, love one another, he meant it. Love is the principal thing that really conquers some of these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible says, love is not what? It's not envious. That is the key that we need to exercise. Love is not envious. And when you see envy trying to rise up, you bring love to quench it. Amen? When you see envy trying to rise up, you bring love to quench it. Because love is not envious. Apostle Peter was saying in 2 Peter chapter 2 that when people that allow those things, before they will be talking of evil, of even dignities. When you think of it in this nation right now, there are a lot of people that have rose up and started talking about Obama, against him. And when you really see the root of what is causing them to be speaking like that is jealousy. They always do that against any president. Very soon they become the critics of that president. It's actually the root of all those things may be jealousy. They may not know, they may not tell. They may think, no, it's not jealousy, but it's hidden in the root of what is causing them to speak like that against dignities. See, Obama or any great person, you just make sure that you are not participating. Don't let jealousy be the root of what you are saying. Amen? You can see examples also in stories of Rachel in Genesis chapter 30. We may say, well, that is natural thing. Those are natural things, but be careful about those natural things. Rachel was the wife of Jacob. And you remember the story of Jacob? He had two wives. Rachel was what he really wanted. And they switched around and gave Jacob Rachel's sister, Leah. And then God didn't bless, and God started blessing Leah with children because it looked like she was hated by the husband. And Rachel became, well, it could be jealousy. She looked around, here, this, her sister has got 4, 5 children, and she had to speak almost evil. Say, give me a child or I die. It will bring jealousy, will begin to bring some bad words from the mouth if you don't quench it. And that's an example. Like I say, it will lead to hatred, and also it can lead to enmity. You see that in the story of David and Saul. And in all of these things, the Lord wants us to overcome these things. And the way to overcome them, prayer. Don't compare. Be watchful. Like I say, watch and pray. Watching what thoughts come to your mind. You have to watch any thoughts or ideas that come to your mind and cast down imagination and every thought, like the Bible said, to the obedience of what the word of God says. God says, I should rejoice with them that rejoice. Rejoice with them. Amen? That is how you have to constantly remind yourself when the thoughts come, before you begin to say something negative about the other person, stop and say, wait a minute, could this be jealousy? Of course, the devil tries to say, no, it's not jealousy. That fellow really did right. I remember somebody said, when they come to Nigerian party, where all the sisters wear their gear like this, and they say, oh, they started criticizing how these we sisters are dressing up. I say, wait a minute, can it be jealousy? Be careful. Don't let it be jealousy. Because you are comparing. See, when you begin to compare how they dress with what you have or you don't have, it's going to rouse up that which you say. God said, when you allow that, it begins slander. Whether you say to them or you say behind them, it is slander. It's Psalm 50. I'm going to wrap up with this psalm so that you know how God sees these things. Psalm 50, I'm reading verse 16. Psalm 50. If the thought comes to your mind, don't act on it. Pray and cast it down. Before you begin to open your mouth, because most of the time it's the opening of the mouth when you begin to say some things, before you begin to do any other reaction, that is the first reaction. Words. Hateful words. Criticism. And you don't realize that it's actually jealousy that's creating that. And very soon it comes to some other actions or reactions. And the Lord said here, is it better unto the wicked? God called it wickedness. Unto the wicked God said, what hast thou to do to declare my status, or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him, and has been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sitted and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thy own mother's son. That is what it will bring. Jealousy will bring slander. Speaking against your brother. Behind their back, of course. So that is, see, God said, God is looking at those things. God is seeing those things. God is watching those things. Then God said, these things as thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thought that I was altogether such an one as thyself. Because God didn't just smack you on the face. You think, well, I must be right. No, you are not right. If you are speaking behind the other person, speaking bad about it, criticizing them from their back. God doesn't have to strike you down. I kept silent. You think I must be somebody like you. Say, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thy eyes. Amen. So that is how the Lord sees it, because jealousy creeps in and people don't notice it. Very soon they are speaking, criticizing. Very soon they will be acting or reacting negatively, and they couldn't speak peace. But what does it do? It does not allow God to move for you. If God is bringing something and you already bring jealousy, it clouded the environment. God cannot move for you. But we want the Lord on our side. Amen? We want God to move for us. So what is the solution? Like I said, love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. He said, love is not envious. You've got to practice that regularly and remind yourself of that. This is what the Bible says. And let that love permeate. Let it overrule any other thought. Let love overrule any other thought and say, well, yes, I may not have what they have right now, but I'm trusting God who is able to provide, supply all my need, all my need. He will supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand up and pray. We're going to just pray for ourselves. That will be the end of the sermon. And we can go on with many other things that the devil does, but this and the other one, you can imagine all the other things the devil could do. Anger, bitterness, all of those things that he uses. But you can think of that day, if you are sensitive, that those are also workings of the devil, and all I have to do is to recognize it before I let it dominate my life, dominate my mind, and cast it down and let your mind be free. Then you'll be able to freely worship the Lord. In spirit and in truth. That is how you go to worship the Lord in truth. Because you are open before the Lord. Hey, search my heart, Lord. If you see any bitterness, any jealousy, uproot it, Lord. So that I can freely worship the Lord in truth. And also fellowship with my own brethren and my neighbors sincerely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. And talk to the Lord yourself. Father, we thank you. Father, we worship you. Father, we praise you. Father, we adore you. We know, Lord Jesus, that everybody, from the beginning to the end, we are all attacked by all those thoughts, whether from inside emotions or from the outside demons trying to attack. But Lord, you have given us the tools and the weapons, the word of God, that we should remember the word of God and speak it out. By the confession, say they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb of God and by the word of their testimony. So as you confess the word, Lord, we know we are going to have that victory. We already have the victory. So thank you, Lord Jesus. If there's anybody here, and you need prayer, you know that some of those things is you have it. Jealousy, hatred, pride. It's what we talked about last week or last Wednesday. But you just need prayer, that we should pray for you so that you can be set free from these things. You need some deliverance, because some of those things, they become stronghold. We want you to come forward so we can pray along with you right now. You need the deliverance, because you know that, hey, I've been struggling to get rid of this. I just needed this jealousy to get out of my life. Come, let's pray along with you. Or maybe yours is not really jealousy, it's the pride thing that we talk about on Wednesday. Or any other thing that the demons use those things, just could be bitterness. You couldn't forgive. And those are also going to be demonic ways of making people remember what the other gave you. You keep remembering the past. The Bible says, love remembereth not the wrong done to it. Love. Remember, not the wrong, don't you? So you have to ask for deliverance if you have been trying to blow it away and it's coming back. Blow it away, maybe you need help. Maybe you need help. We have to help one another. So come forward if you need prayer so that we can lay our hand upon you and pray with you. Not just pray for you, we are going to pray with you so that we break all these bands. Or yours may not, maybe it's not pride, maybe it's not jealousy, or maybe it's not bitterness, unforgiveness. You just couldn't forgive. Or you say, oh me. You're actually against God. You think God is the one that do this to you. You know, we talked about pride last week, last Wednesday. A poor man, even an homeless person can be proud. I've preached a sermon before where I saw a man pushing his cart in the streets, and I tried to talk to him about God. He just hated God. He said, "Don't talk to me about God." He said, "It was pride." And he needs to be humble, because the only person that can solve his problem was God. And he thought in his mind, and that's what the devil does, they bring evil thoughts to you, making you think it was God that makes it happen. If God is alive, you should have not allowed this to happen. How dare you say that? So you need prayer. Come forward, let's pray for you, because it may be a stronghold in your mind that you couldn't break loose that thought, that idea. And you need to be set free from those ideas so that God can penetrate with his light to help you. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi inviting you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian that has been listening to this radio broadcast, I challenge you and I urge you to aspire to the goal of overcomers. Be zealous for more of God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to build you up spiritually, and pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to increase and intensify in you, so that you can come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal as believers. Now, if you that is listening to me, you are not a Christian, or you are just a church member, you are a church goer trying to do good, but you are not really born again. You don't even know what it means to be born again. You are not sure whether you have been washed from your sins. I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And I want to pray for you right now, so that you can be assured of your salvation, and so that your heart and your faith and your spirit can begin to believe the Word of God. The Word of God specifically says, anyone that believes in me, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. You have got to believe that utterance of Jesus, and then invite Jesus to come out, take over your life, because he gives a power into the believers that he calls being born again. And it is this power that rejuvenates us from within, that makes us to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. Now, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I want you to pray, to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. Say, "Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died for me on the cross. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce all ungodliness. And I renounce all witchcraft and evil powers. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior today. Come and take over my life, Jesus. And fill me with the Holy Ghost. Wash me with your blood. From now on, I belong to you, Jesus. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for making me your child. Amen." Father, I pray for all the people that are listening. Help them, Lord Jesus Christ, to begin to follow the Word of God, to begin to read the Scriptures and to understand and obey it. And let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow the and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.